So, good morning. Thanks for being here. And I guess I'll start the wave of Halloween jokes by saying I'm in disguise here. I'm not sure what as exactly, but so I'm going to talk about urban sprawl and cancer mortality in the United States. I don't have any relationships that are worth disclosing here. Urban sprawl has been associated with increased obesity, decreased physical activity, and other health-related variables, but fewer studies have examined the relationship between sprawl and mortality, especially. And the particular hypothesis I'm interested in is that a number of studies have shown that in more suburban areas there's a higher level of obesity. And so it occurred to me that maybe cancer mortality from obesity-related cancers would be higher in suburban areas. So I want to explore that with a large data set in the United States, the true home of sprawl. So sprawl can be thought of both as a process by which urbanized areas gradually expand over time, and also a condition, a specific pattern of land use that can be described using measurable dimensions. Probably almost all of you are familiar with sprawl because a lot of U.S. urban areas are characterized by a large growth of the suburban parts. And the sprawling regions typically have poor street connectivity, population dispersed in low-density residential housing, a rigid separation of homes, shops, and workplaces, and the lack of activity centers downtown. And the sprawl has been kind of a bugaboo for environmentalists because it's associated with an automobile-oriented lifestyle, which has a lot of consequences for fossil fuel use and land use characteristics that lead to environmental degradation through paving and other characteristics of these regions. And so in the past decade, really, there's been quite a few studies, mostly cross-sectional, looking at the association between sprawl and various health-related variables. A number of studies have shown that in more sprawling areas, the prevalence of obesity is higher, the prevalence of physical activity can be lower. Some studies haven't found relationships. Sturm and Cohen didn't see an association between sprawl and mental health. But they did see an increase in the prevalence in chronic conditions, traffic accidents. My favorite study of snake bites, in Australia there's more snake bites in sprawling suburban areas than in urban areas. Imagine that. And ozone excess in the suburbs because of the automobile use, which is then linked to asthma. But there have been two longitudinal studies that did not find associations between sprawl and obesity or physical activity, one of them by Ewing, Bronson, and myself in 2007, and one by Lee et al. So important to think about study design and investigations of sprawl. So this project, we've been interested in the relationship between sprawl and cancer mortality, and we used U.S. national data from SEER and urban sprawl data for 935 urban and suburban counties. So it's a purely county-level analysis. We looked at 20 of the most common cancers and used regression models, so I'll tell you a little more about that. The conceptual model that this is based on is not that sprawl causes cancer, but that it leads to some factors that might influence cancer, and then that there's potentially a population distribution associated with sprawl that alters risk and mortality. And I think of the dimensions that might be key: access and quality of care, air and water pollution, lifestyle factors like diet, physical activity, and their consequences, obesity, and, of course, the population distribution, since there are specific demographic attributes of sprawling and non-sprawling regions. So in this study, we weren't able to look at air and water pollution at this national level, but obviously that's a candidate for further investigation. The sprawl index that we looked at, developed by Ewing, involved 22 variables grouped into four factors of sprawl at the metropolitan county level. And these factors involve a number of measures of residential density, the neighborhood mix of homes, jobs, and services, strength of activity centers and downtowns, and the street network characteristics. And Ewing used principal components analysis to extract an index. And unfortunately, it turns out that it's kind of an inverse index. The most sprawling have the lowest values of the index, 60, and the least sprawling, the most urban areas, like Manhattan, say, have the highest indexes. So it's really a kind of urbanicity index, but that's the way he conceptualized it. And actually, we've just funded him on a contract to update this sprawl index with 2010 census data. And so now there'll actually be sprawl indices available for 1990, 2000, and 2010. So opening up the possibility of some longitudinal studies of the effects of sprawl in different counties if you had suitable data sets to connect to that data. And in fact, we'll hopefully, when the index is updated, we're going to create a website that has these sprawl indices available for download and analysis. So I think that should be a plus. They've been freely available, but not quite as easy to access as we hope it will be in the coming year. So you can look forward to that, I think. The cancer data, we just selected the cancers that were common enough so that there'd be robust mortality rates at the county level, although in the end some of these didn't quite work out like that, and you'll see we combined them into a couple of different categories. But these data were provided by NCHS and the SEER working together for the age-adjusted mortality rates for males and females. And then covariates, we tried to extract a series of county-level covariates that addressed the conceptual model we had, with some lifestyle factors, smoking, BMI, race, population characteristics, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, using a modified index like Nancy Krieger's from Harvard. Access and quality of care, we extracted information about the prevalence of uninsured, physician density, hospital density from the area-wide resource file. And as a kind of proxy measure of use of healthcare systems, adherence to mammography. We excluded breast cancer then from our list of cancers for analysis, the idea being this is a proxy measure of the way people at the county level are using the healthcare system. And then spatial variables, we had the census divisions, which are nine regions across the United States, and county centroids, which emerged as necessary to account for spatial autocorrelation. So these are just maps that you can't see too well, but you can see there's urban and suburban counties all across the United States, a variation in sprawl and cancer mortality. And as I said, our main hypothesis was that there'd be increased cancer mortality from obesity-related cancers in more sprawling areas, and that association would disappear when we added BMI to the model. I guess the point I want to make here with this distribution of covariates is, as I mentioned earlier, there's a wide range in the level of sprawl, and you can imagine from the most urban areas like Boston, New York, San Francisco, to the most sprawling areas, those are all over the country, but think of any suburb, and you have a preponderance of low scores in the sprawl index. And then notice with the percent obesity, there's a wide range in the prevalence of obesity with, 12% to 40% obese. Then I was kind of amazed, too, to see what a wide range of mortality rates there were in this analysis, too. You can see for females and males, there's an order of magnitude difference in the mortality rate at the county level for tobacco and obesity-related cancers. And you can see here, we decided to split. We did separate analyses by cancer, individual cancer sites, but with just too many regressions, and we get similar kinds of qualitative results when we divided these up into tobacco-related cancers, obesity-related cancers, and other cancers of mysterious etiology in some cases. So the main point here is at the county level, there's tremendous variation, which is obviously a public health challenge as well. Why can't we all be like the top counties there? So model selection for this, log transformation as needed, separate models by gender and cancer type. We used an elastic net approach to selecting two-way interaction terms. Linda Pickle, the statistician I worked with, led that element of this effort. We used an iterative use of Moran's test for spatial correlation to try to account for spatial variation in the data set. And I think that's very important. A lot of ecological analyses don't really use the tools of geography in a very sophisticated way. So Dr. Pickle really encouraged us to try to account for this spatial variation in our modeling. In the end, mixed models were required with county-level centroids as random effects and census divisions. So the county-level centroid use suggests there's some unknown spatial variables, spatial characteristics that we don't have in our list of covariates that are influencing cancer mortality across the country. And we just accounted for that with a space variable. So I'll show you some of the coefficients here and then show you the sprawl results. So these are beta coefficients from the regression models. And so, you know, you can see positive associations between mortality and smoking. This is for males. So that sort of, and in the combined data and in the tobacco data. So that seems to add to the face validity of the analysis. But then the biggest puzzling result with these covariates are negative associations between mortality and the uninsured status. So in counties where more people are uninsured, cancer mortality rates are lower. So that is a sort of ecological fallacy, and we haven't quite figured out what's causing that yet. I think it's potentially because of inadequate control for socioeconomic variables. We have this index, SEP, but it really doesn't make sense. So I'm still working on that. And I thought, well, maybe I've made some mistake here, but in the literature, there's a couple of similar analyses of cancer mortality data at the county level for specific cancers. And in those papers, they find the same thing, although curiously, they don't discuss that result at all. So I have a few, and it's well known, as many of you know, at the individual level, having insurance is associated with lower mortality. So this may turn out to be an interesting example of the ecological fallacy. And that's, you know, a little frustrating because then you wonder if it applies to our sprawl results as well. But sprawl is different because sprawl is a property of counties, whereas insurance is a property of individuals. So that made me feel I could continue this line of analysis. Here's the results for males, similar results for females, and I've put a circle around the coefficients relating, in this case, census division by sprawl and obesity. And you see positive coefficients there between the sprawl index and obesity-related cancer mortality. So there's two conclusions from this slide, 2 minutes to go. First of all, there's heterogeneity in different regions of the country. So the relationship between sprawl and mortality differs in different parts of the U.S. So I think that's important because the past studies of sprawl have treated the U.S. as a homogeneous environment. But it makes sense that maybe urbanicity versus suburban characteristics might mean different things in the West versus the East because of the history of cities in those different parts of the country. So I think that's interesting. And then second, we falsified our hypothesis. Cancer mortality rates for cancers related to obesity are higher in urban areas than in suburban areas. So the opposite of our hypothesis related to the higher prevalence of obesity in suburban areas. So I guess that science is good when you falsify hypotheses, but frustrating too because you're back to the drawing board. So the limitations of this work are that this is a purely county-level ecological study, and I think it seems clear from the insurance results that we need a multi-level analysis here that accounts for individual as well as group characteristics. There's a lack of data on air and water pollution that's readily accessible at the national level. And the different covariates that we used have very different degrees of levels of error. BMI is based on self-report. Physician and hospital density characteristics may well be measured with error. And a limitation I don't show here is the timing. These are all variables from collected in the early 2000s, but of course the different cancers have very different latency periods, and so it would be probably better to have a better understanding of time in these models. So the cancer mortality rates are positively correlated with the sprawl index. Rates are higher in more urban areas, and for obesity that was the opposite of what we expected, but for tobacco-related cancers it was in accord with past results. And I think importantly the association between sprawl and cancer differs in different regions in the U.S., suggesting that future analyses of urban sprawl and health should make sure they take into account regional potential for regional variation in these associations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a couple minutes for any immediate questions.
In terms of the uninsured population, have you tried to correlate that with whether immigration status, what portion of the uninsured is by the immigrant population? Because there is a correlation between the longer they're in the United States, the sicker you become.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good idea. I haven't done that formally yet. We have prevalence of Hispanic as the covariate, but that's obviously not fully going to account for the immigrant population. And I have initially kind of mapped the counties that have the highest prevalence of uninsurance. And the first ones I looked at were in Texas, and I thought, there's the answer. But it turns out they're actually spread a bit more throughout the country. So I think that's a terrific idea, and I'm going to try to implement that more formally.
And the second question was, in terms of the BMI scores, have you done a regression according to the scores to know if lower BMIs are less at risk for cancer than higher BMIs?
The prevalence of BMI of obesity is positively related to mortality from the obesity-related cancers and some of the other cancers as well, sometimes statistically significantly, other times just with positive coefficients.
But have you thought of grouping them in terms of mild obese?
Oh, yeah, kind of. No, good idea. No, I haven't done that yet. Good idea.
Thank you very much, Dr. Berrigan.
I have a question about how mortality is recorded for your data in terms of location. So the reason I was asking is I was wondering if some of the effects you saw might be related to cancer treatment. For example, if people are locating in more urban areas, they could better follow cancer care, and therefore that might potentially do mortality to make it, this mortality is higher in urban
I believe that the rates are linked to the person's county of residence rather than the site of treatment, but I don't know what the time frame of that is. So whether or not there could be a bias introduced by treatment-related relocation. But thanks, good point. I'll look into that.
Thank you very much, Dr. Berrigan.